We do today have, I want to say a guest speaker, but most of you know William and Violet. Violet started our church, Ginger said, when she was about 10 years old, that she remembers, and William was picked up on our buses going out at the age of about 12. So they've been part of our church family for years. They're very active in ministry here. Violet's involved in the worship team in children's church and just so many other activities here. Most of the time, you'll see William in the sound booth back here. He also helps with the teens and children sometimes. But God has called him into ministry. He is preparing for ministry. I know that he's involved in a couple of courses through our course of study right now, one in the Book of Acts, and two in preparing sermons. And I told him I hope he's got far enough along yet. He's spoken for us frequently on Wednesday nights, but this will be his first time on Sundays. And I'm excited. He's a good speaker, and he has a good heart for God and a heart for others. So, William.
Good morning. Well, I tell you what, I'm very, very excited this morning because Christmas is one of my favorite times of the year. And I don't really even care if they start playing Christmas music before Thanksgiving. That's how much I like it. I tell you what, one of my favorite things during the Christmas season is our Christmas Eve service. And you know, I was excited again to hear that Sean's going to be speaking tomorrow. And as a matter of fact, I want to tell a little bit of a story about Sean and his wife and their family. When our son Michael was a little boy, we were very, very close to him. We've known the Stovalls for quite some time. And Michael and their son John were real close, and they'd always play together. And anytime that we would talk about them, we'd talk about the Stovalls. Well, my son Michael, he always thought that we were saying the Snowballs. So even to this day, they're still our Snowballs. But I would say this. If you want to hear the Word of God preached by a guy that is very, very passionate about the Word, come tomorrow. And if not, if you guys have been praying for snowballs for Christmas, this is your answer to prayer right here, okay? Ken was telling me before, just a minute ago, that I left a lot of blanks in your bulletin. I don't know if you got your outline. But I'm actually going to have you guys do something for me. He said that when you leave a lot of blanks, a lot of people in the congregation like to guess. They like to fill them out early and see if they guessed right. And while I was sitting there, Joe, he went ahead and filled his out. If you would, go ahead and take your outline out for me real quick. And at the very, very top, I left a blank. And that blank says, blank is the reason for the season. I want you to go ahead and fill that out with what you think that is for me. While you're doing that, I'm going to tell you a little bit about my childhood. I was an inquisitive kid, which means I like to ask a lot of questions. And I'm sure, much like many of the parents out here in the congregation today, you love it when your kids ask a lot of questions, right? So my parents loved when I asked a lot of questions. Sometimes I even have to remind myself of that whenever my boys start asking me a lot of questions. But some of the questions that I used to ask is, I would ask how something worked, right? I would always ponder, okay, I look at something and I would try and figure out what makes this work. And I think it runs in the family because my middle son, Aaron, he does the same thing. A matter of fact, Violet and I were talking about the other day how Aaron, we had this electric fly swatter. Have you all ever seen those? I don't know exactly how they work because anytime I've ever used them, I've never hit a fly with them. But he started pulling it apart, and he found out how it worked, and the next thing I know, he came down with a homemade stun gun. That's a little bit different. Matter of fact, I don't see him in here, but I think he said that he brought it today, and he was going to use it on any of the kids that don't pay attention in service today, so y'all watch out for him. Another question that I would ask is why people act a certain way. Whenever I was a kid, I was a little bit different. When my parents and my family would go out and we'd go to Walmart or we'd go to the mall or even to go play, I would be the one that was sitting and I would just watch people. I love to people watch. And I would always ask myself, why do they do this? Why do they do the things they do? Why do they interact with people the way that they do? I was always fascinated with why people do things. And the last one I want to talk to you about today is what sets things into motion. So I was real big into the history behind something, or what I'll call it today is cause and effect. Because this happened, what was the effect of it? So naturally, because I never stopped asking questions as an adult, I found myself as a big problem solver. I like to troubleshoot things. And usually I'll go through and I'll try and figure things out, and I determine that's probably one of the reasons why my wife loves me so much, because I'm a deep thinker, right? But I also found out that's probably one of the reasons why I frustrate her so much, because whenever I figure it out, I have to tell her whether she asked the question or not, right? And I found out that sometimes she just really doesn't care. But that's okay. I tell her anyways. So have y'all heard Jesus is the reason for the season, right? So I ask the question, why? I start kind of digging in and trying to figure out the cause and effect of what that means. So today I'd like to ask a few questions. So I'd like to look at the cause and effect of the season, if that's okay. I'd like to explore why Jesus came, and I'd also like to define a few root causes that result in what we call Christmas. So as I started thinking about this, I figured, okay, well, if I'm going to go into Christmas, it's probably best I just start from the beginning. So I'm going to start with Adam and Eve. So Adam and Eve, they were created. God placed them in the garden. And in Genesis, it says that God dwelt with them, that God conversed with them, God walked with them. God had a relationship with Adam and Eve, right? And in that, God told them that there was one thing, one rule, as he had a relationship with them, one rule in the Garden of Eden. Y'all know what that is, right? That they could not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Just one rule. They could eat of any other tree, just not that one. So I don't know how long that they conversed with God. I don't know how long that they walked with God, and God had a relationship with them. But that was something that God valued, right? God valued the relationship. Until one day where Adam and Eve ate from the tree. And we're not going to go into who was at fault. That's a different sermon. But what I will say is that because of that came a root cause for Christmas. And that root cause is sin is the reason for the season. See, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they sinned against God, right? No sin, no Christmas, right? So, sin separates us from God. In Romans 6:23, and I'm just going to read the very first part of that, it says, "For the wages of sin is death." So when you look at that word wages, that's what we earn, right? Anybody that goes and they have a job, they earn something. So the wages, what we've earned, or what Adam and Eve earned from their disobedience was death. And not just the physical death, but what it means is it's a spiritual death, that they were separated from God. Matter of fact, the Bible says that in Genesis that Adam and Eve were removed from the garden, right? They were separated from the place where they dwelt with God. But it wasn't just Adam and Eve. So we go down to the next verse and Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So it's not just Adam and Eve that bear that. We all do. We all sin. I told Violet, I said, sin to me by itself would make for a horrible season, right? Kind of like onion powder. You put onion powder in something, it just doesn't make a good season. But it's not left by itself. See, sin is a root cause, but it's a root cause that started a domino effect to where everything else that we're going to talk about today took place, right? Sin is where it started, but that's not where it ends, thank God. So I'm going to look at another root cause, and that root cause is love. Love is the reason for the season. I want to tell you that God loves you this morning, right? That the Bible says that you are chosen, you are a chosen people. In Ephesians 1:4, it says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And it goes on in 1 Peter to say, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. So let me tell you what that means this morning. It means that before the earth was even created, God knew you and God loved you. God knew who you were going to be. He knew your rebellion. He knew your temptation. He knew every time that you would sin. He knew every time that you would cry out to him and want something. He knew every time that you rejoiced and every time you shook your fist at him, right? God knew you that well before the foundation of the earth, and he loved you enough to where he still created you, right? And he's still working on you. I'm actually going to look up something real quick. Have y'all ever heard the song Reckless Love? Reckless Love, I love this song. It was written by Corey Asbury. And I'm going to actually read a couple verses of the song real quick. If it'll pull up. It says, before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. The overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. And then this next verse, it says, when I was your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind to me. And Corey, when he wrote that, last year he actually went to a conference. And during that conference, he explained a little bit about why he wrote the song. And let me tell you what he said. He said, when I use the phrase, the reckless love of God, when we say it, we're not saying that God himself is reckless. He's not crazy. We are, however, saying that the way he loves is in many regards quite so. But what I mean is this. He's utterly unconcerned with the consequences of his own actions with regard to his own safety, comfort, and well-being. He doesn't wonder what he'll gain or lose by putting himself on the line. He simply puts himself out there on the off chance that you and I might look back at him and give him the love in return. His love leaves the 99 and finds the one every time. And to many practical adults, that's a foolish concept. Well, what if he loses the 99 in finding the one, right? What if finding the one lost sheep is and always will be supremely important? So my next point here is that God shows value in you. You are valuable. So we all know the verse, John 3:16. I'm only going to put the first part of this. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So let me explain to you exactly what value is. If I have a bank account, and I've been saving all my life, and I have money back in savings, and I've got quite a bit, and a friend or a family member comes to me and they're in need, right? Well, that savings account, I've held back. You know, that's something that is important to me. It's something that is going to help for my future, my retirement, whatever it might be. But if I give it anyways, what am I showing more value in? What I have or the person that I'm giving it to? What holds more value? The person I'm giving it to, right? So I want you to look at it in the same way. God gave his son to you, the most precious gift that we could ever imagine on heaven or earth, and he gave it, He gave his son for you. So I ask you today, what's more valuable? Would you say that if he gave up his precious son, that he shows value in you? I do. But he didn't just give his son. He gave his son over to the cruelty of man to suffer. To be mocked, to be spit at, to be ridiculed, to be put on display, to suffer, to be beat, to die for you. That's a mighty love, right? I would even say that that is unimaginably valuable. And all this leads up, right? So we sin, and we're separated from God. We are dead in our transgressions, but God loves us enough. But I say to you this morning, that's not enough, right? There has to be a plan. There has to be something else. So those two root causes in themselves don't mean anything if the third root cause is not true. So the third root cause this morning is eternity is the reason for the season. See, God's plan always included eternity, an eternal relationship with you. That was always his plan. In Romans 6:23, we looked at it earlier, and I read the very first part. It says, for the wages of sin is death. I want to keep reading. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternity is the plan. So, without the desire to have an eternal relationship as a goal, what would it matter if you sinned? If eternity was not the goal, and God did not desire to have an eternal relationship with you, we were dead in our transgressions, and we were going to die one day anyways, what does it matter? All right? There's no hope. Let's look at the next one, John 3:16. So we read the first part of that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Right? So we go on. That whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. See, if there was not a desire for an eternal relationship, there would be no reason for a love that profound. Right? The death of Christ, the coming of Christ, doesn't matter, right? No sacrifice, guess what? No Christmas. Ephesians 1:4. We looked at 1:4. I want to look at 1:4 and 5. It says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. See, without the desire for an eternal relationship, there's no reason for us to be adopted by God into his kingdom. All right? David, do me a favor. Can you go back to 8 real quick? Slide 8. So, I want to tell you guys this morning that without the desire for an eternal relationship, this is all we see. We only see the first part. But God gave us the second part. God gave us the second part of these verses. Without the second part of these verses, everything else doesn't matter. For the wages of sin is death. We're dead in our transgressions. We're going to die. There's no hope. Right? We have no hope. Go ahead and move on to 10. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Right? So if we just look at this and there's no hope for the future, if we don't have the second part to this verse, there's no hope for the future. All right? It's a good display, right? We get to see how much God loves us, but is that enough? Right? In the end, it doesn't mean anything. Right? God loves us, but there's no hope for the future. It ends here. All right, go on to the next verse, if you would. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Right? So if we don't have the second part, if we're not adopted by him, if we don't call him Father, right? If we are not adopted and there is not an eternal relationship in his plan, then this doesn't make sense. Why would we be blameless? Why would we be holy? Why would we be set apart for God when there is no end, right? There is no eternity. It doesn't make sense. So without the second part of each one of these verses, there's no hope for our transgressions. There's no hope for our future. And there's no hope for eternity to where we get to call God our Father. So I'm going to have you go back up to the very first line, to where I had you put something in that first line. And I'm going to tell you that that word this morning is not Jesus. Right? Jesus is important. But I'm going to tell you that that word that you should put in that top line is your name. See, everything that I have seen while going through this study is that Jesus came humbly, not to be recognized, but to be a sacrifice and a gift from his Father to you. You, this morning, are the reason for the season. In every way, right? We started the cycle by being disobedient to God. We got to experience God's love. And because of that love, God had to create a way to ultimately carry out his plan for eternity. So you say, okay, well, if Jesus is not the reason for the season, I've always heard that. Where does Jesus fit in? Is he not a part of this? It's Christmas. Isn't Jesus the biggest part of Christmas? Absolutely. I would say Jesus is still the most vital part. But I want you to look at it in a different way this morning. I want you to look at Jesus is the gift that God gave you this Christmas season. Even though we see the wise men carrying precious gifts to Jesus, the best gift that was received on Christmas when Jesus Christ was born was himself to a mankind that was lost and that could not do it on their own. And I tell you what, I could explain it to you. I can explain how Jesus is the gift of the season. But I actually have something special for you guys. I'd like to show you. So I'm going to show you real quick what that looks like.
Oh, I guess I must have fallen asleep with all the shopping and the decorating and wrapping all the Christmas presents. I have been so tired. Okay, I got to get back to it. What is this? It's for me. It's from God. I wonder what I could have done to deserve a gift from God.
It's not about what you deserve, but about the gift I freely give.
What is it?
Open it and see.
It says grace.
Be careful with it. I plan on reusing it next year.
The paper's really pretty. Wait, there's more wrapping. This one isn't pretty. In fact, it's kind of pretty ugly.
That is right. My grace can cover the ugliest of sins.
Yeah, it says sin on it. Okay, well, can I open it? I'm just going to open it anyway. It's another box. Is this a joke?
No, not a joke. Just keep opening.
Okay. It says mercy. I bet there's another layer under here. This one says judgment.
With the gift inside, you won't have to worry about judgment, for my mercy triumphs judgment.
Well, I'm excited. Okay, let's see what it is. Okay, it's another box. This has to be a joke.
Nope, definitely not a joke.
Then why so much wrapping?
You will understand soon enough. It's all a part of the gift. Okay, this could take some time, so why don't we make this the last one?
Thank you. This one says future hope. I wonder what's underneath. It says bondage. What's that supposed to mean?
It means to be enslaved to. With this gift, you don't have to be enslaved to this world, to sin, or the labels given by either. With this gift, you can be set free forever.
That sounds like a great gift. Can I open the box?
Well, I guess you've waited long enough. Go ahead.
Where is it? I don't see anything.
That is it. The papers you tossed to the side.
I don't understand.
What exactly were you expecting?
Well, it's Christmas, so baby Jesus.
I see. Well, without the cross, baby Jesus is insignificant.
Okay, well then, why not a cross?
Oh, my dear child, it was only through the wood of the cross that the papers could be signed.
But aren't adoptions expensive?
Very, but this one was already paid for with the blood of my son.
So now what?
All you must do now is say yes and sign it. Then you will be my child and heir to my kingdom.
Yes. You're right. This is a great gift. Paper and all.
See, I've learned that when Jesus came as a baby, he didn't lose his deity. He was still God. But he decided to set aside his title for you. Ken touched last week and said that Jesus came in humility. And he came in humility not to be recognized, not this time. It'll happen. But he came this time to be a sacrifice, to show you the love. Only Jesus could overcome the sin and the separation that we created. It was only Jesus that could show the love of the Father to you. And it was only Jesus that could reconcile us back to God through adoption and be his children. So I ask you this morning, if you have not made that commitment, if you have not said yes to the Father, if you do not know God's love, I pray that you would know it this morning. And I've asked a couple people to kind of join us at the back. If you're here this morning and you need to pray, or if you need to praise God for the gift that he's given you this season, Will and Connie will be at the back to pray with you. And let's pray real quick. Father, we just thank you, God, that you would reveal to us the reason for the season, God, that it was always us. God, the root cause of everything, the messed up relationship, God, through disobedience, that was us. God, the demonstration of love was for us. God, and the plan for eternity, to where we can one day be with you forever, God, was for us. We just thank you, God, that you would reveal yourself to us this morning in such a mighty way. Lord, that we would recognize that Jesus Christ is a gift. Lord, that he is an eternal gift. Lord, and that he is the only way that we can know you. He is the only way that we can have eternal life, God. And he is the only way that we can call you Father and be reunited with you. So we pray, God, that if there is anyone here this morning that does not know you, that does not know the fullness of your love, your grace, your mercy, God, that you would show them this morning, Lord, and that there is no better time than now for them to say yes, God. I just pray that they would rise to action. In your precious son's name we pray, amen.